Luke chapter 11. As you make your way there, let me just share with you one of the many special things, favorite things about the camp that I just came back from. There are quite a few things that I love about it, but here's one. Each year, the camp has a different theme that goes along with it, kind of like VBS. When you have a VBS program, usually each year you have a different theme. And so with the camp, we always have a different theme that I need to incorporate into the messages. And along with that, they have a different camp t-shirt. And so this year, since I've been there 9 years, I have enough camp t-shirts that I could only take camp t-shirts to camp and I would have enough shirts, which probably is what I'll do next year. Although right now I can't fit a few of the camp shirts, so that's why next year will be the year I will wear all of my camp shirts. So on usually the last full day, towards the end, they give out those shirts, and they have a tradition of signing. So a lot of them, they like to get people's signatures. So everybody goes around and writes their name on those shirts. And it was 6 years ago when I was at that camp, and I had been there a few years at that point. But I started to do the chapel messages, and so during that camp, I was referred to as Pastor Ryan. And this was long before I was actually a pastor. It was before I did any local licensing and all of that, but they wanted me to sign. And so as I'm signing their shirts, I'm writing Pastor Ryan on there. I felt a little bit awkward. It was a unique experience. It felt a little awkward. And to be honest, at the time, it didn't feel like a true thing. So when I'm writing, it's like, you know, I'm not really Pastor Ryan. So here I was doing those messages and signing those shirts and writing Pastor Ryan on there. So, but that is something that has changed over the years, and especially this year as I go to write Pastor Ryan on all these shirts as they're coming up, it felt more true. It's felt more true each and every year that I do it. More and more natural, less and less awkward, more and more true. So for me, camp is a yearly reminder that those special campers, in a very prophetic way, spoke something about me that didn't feel true in the moment, but did come true down the road. So this morning, I come back to you as a pastor after having spent time with those wonderful people who were the very first people to call me Pastor Ryan before you ever had the chance to call me that. So go ahead and stand as I read this morning. And this is actually the Lord's Prayer, something we had during some of our chapel messages. So I would have them come up and share and read that. But we're going to read it again. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up to give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion inside a sucker?" Which is what I received this morning as a gift, I guess. "Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of the Lord this morning. Go ahead and have a seat. I thought it was pretty ironic when I got my gift this morning from Sylvia that it was a scorpion inside of a sucker, knowing that I would be talking about an egg and a scorpion later on. Heading into this message on the Lord's Prayer, I could not help but think about the numerous times over this last year in particular. I don't remember it happening before this last year, but it has happened numerous times this year. The experience where someone has shared with me their own personal experience of a difficult time they were going through. And because of the difficulty of the circumstances, they found themselves in a place where they didn't have the words to pray. They didn't know how, what words of their own to use. And so the only thing they could do in that moment was to pray the Lord's Prayer. Being that this prayer is from Jesus, given to his disciples, it should not be surprising that this prayer is powerful and effective. And what should be surprising is that we don't pray it more often, and why so often the kinds of prayers we do pray stray off in ways that really don't resemble the Lord's Prayer. There are some things about this prayer that stand out in ways that I think are helpful for us to remember this morning. The first being that this prayer is a community prayer more than it is a personal prayer. By community prayer, I do not mean a prayer offered up for a community, but a prayer offered up by a community. Give us each day. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. This was a prayer given to a collection of disciples gathered together, and it was given to them for them to offer up this prayer together. It's a prayer that can sound odd when prayed in isolation, all alone, but it doesn't have to be that way. Even if a disciple of Jesus happens to be alone when they pray this prayer, they are never truly alone. When one part of the body of Christ rejoices, the whole body rejoices with it. When one part of the body of Christ suffers, the whole body suffers with it. And when one part of the body of Christ is praying, there are other members of the body of Christ praying as well. And as you know, when Paul was physically alone in a serenity garden at a hospital praying for Sue, when he had no other words to pray but the Lord's Prayer, even though he was alone in that garden, he wasn't alone at all, and he wasn't the only one praying for her. There was and is a specific community of people praying for him and for her and for their health. Not all prayers are community prayers. And I want to be careful and clear about what I mean in saying that not all prayers are community prayers. It is common practice in churches all over the place to do the customary collection of prayer requests. What's also a common practice is for those churches to gather those lists and put those things down. And you can share prayer requests that are two or three steps removed from the actual community praying of gathering of believers. So instead of praying prayers for members of the community, it quickly turns into prayer requests for this person and this person who knows this person who knows this person who has a need. People who don't have an actual physical connection to a community, or maybe a very loose one at best. And here's the part where I don't want to be misunderstood. What I don't want to do, and what I'm not trying to do, is to devalue any of those kinds of prayers, because they do have tremendous value. But what I do want to highlight this morning and underscore is the value of people sharing their actual personal prayer needs with their actual local community, so that the community can pray together as it is called to do. What a shame it would be for the community to gather together and write down the prayer needs of and lift up the prayer needs of people outside these walls, and yet neglect or overlook the prayer needs of people right here in our midst. And yet, I think this happens all the time. It's much easier to share the prayer needs of someone else than our own personal needs. There are too many prayers, as I see it, too many prayers prayed in actual isolation where nobody knows your prayer request, nobody else is praying for it because nobody else knows about it. And that flies in opposition to a prayer that I think is designed for the community to pray together. Give us each day our daily bread. What is it that we need each day as a community to be the kind of community God has called us to be? The daily bread of manna that came to God's people in the desert came to people who lived their lives together in a way that's a little bit hard to duplicate in the complexities of today. Their survival was dependent on God's provision, and their survival was intertwined with the people they were living with. They lived and died together as a community. And what God sent was what they got. Manna, quail, whatever God provided, that's what everyone had for dinner. The daily need for God to provide shaped who they were as a community. So how are we to be shaped as a community in that kind of a way if the only time we think about the body of Christ in that community is once or twice a week? This isn't a problem I usually have to deal with near as much as others, because rarely a day goes by where I don't have some sort of a message or some sort of communication with somebody in the church for various reasons. But for some reason, even then, it is easy to be busy and not be prayerful about the daily bread needed by people in the church. Lord, give Edna the daily bread she needs in her circumstance. Lord, give Ruth Ann the daily bread that she needs in her situation. Lord, give the people of Calvary the daily bread that we all need. And perhaps the improvement of our regular communication between members of Calvary would, in and of itself, be a form of daily bread for those people in need of it. And so for me, I'm talking to myself on that one as much as anybody else, but the kinds of communications we have with each other, whether phone call or text or card, or those things go a long ways in the nourishment of the people of Calvary. And I'm horrible at making phone calls, and even worse at setting goals to do those sorts of things. But a card or a call to a brother or sister in Christ goes a long way towards helping be the daily bread. In order to pray, give us each day, you need to spend at least some time thinking about us, and perhaps in thinking about us, God will provide you with an opportunity to be an answer to prayer, to be an answer to that very prayer we pray. And give us this day our daily bread. What is the daily bread that I need? What is the daily bread that you need? And how can God use us all to nourish and strengthen each other? The prayer for pardon, the prayer for forgiveness is just as much corporate prayer as it is a personal one. We live at a time where the concept of something like corporate sin is really difficult to embrace. Why would someone else's sin be my problem? Or how in the world could it possibly be fair or right for someone to have to deal with the consequences and punishments for the sins committed by another person? And yet, the concept of corporate sin is woven all through the Old Testament, especially through the sacrificial system. Witnessing sacrifices was a daily occurrence for the people of Israel as they moved from place to place. And what they saw were not just sacrifices for a person's personal sin, but sacrifices for a family or sacrifices for all of the people of Israel. Many times they enjoyed blessings or endured punishments as a group. And I'm sure it was frustrating for those among the group who were faithful to the Lord's commands, having to deal with hardships because other parts of the community were not faithful. Frustrating for those faithful people to hear the prophets sharing the Lord's displeasure with the unfaithfulness of the community. And just imagine the kind of displeasure that Hosea got when he got the news from God, basically saying, which is what Larry read earlier, God saying, "My people have been unfaithful, so I need you to go marry an unfaithful person as your wife." I imagine that, you know, when people put together their lists of, these are the things I'm looking for in a spouse, that's not something people put on there. I've never known anyone to put a propensity for promiscuity on that list. And yet that's the story of Hosea. And that's the story of Hosea and Gomer as they're gathered together in a way that God has gathered himself or tethered himself to children who keep finding themselves wandering away. Even when there are days he wants to say that they couldn't possibly be his children, which those two names, the one was, "I don't love you," and the other one is, "not mine." I couldn't think of two worse names to name a kid. But that's what happens with Gomer and Hosea. So even though there are days when he wants to say that, on those tough days that they couldn't possibly be my children, he does indeed say, "They are my people." And then you get to Jesus taking upon himself the weight of the sins of the world. Bearing the weight not just your own sin, but the sins of others is about as biblical as you can get. Forgive us our sins. The sins of others is just as much our problem as it is theirs. And perhaps if we addressed other people's sins as if they were our own sin, we might address them with a little bit more grace, putting ourselves in their shoes and putting ourselves in their circumstances. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If the body of Christ is not known to be a collection of forgiven people who know how to forgive people, we have surely missed the mark. And so a daily prayer of something along the lines of the Lord's Prayer is a great reminder heading into the day that forgiveness is central to who we are. We are a people who are undeservedly pardoned by a loving God who daily depend on his provision of daily bread to make it through. And third, a prayer for protection and direction. We are also a people who turn toward God for protection and direction. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We turn toward a God who is a strong tower and a refuge and who is our strength. We turn toward a God who provides a way out when facing temptation. We turn toward a God who provides every piece of armor that we need to be protected from the flaming arrows of the evil one. And so, our prayer is that God would direct us and protect us. This past week, I got to see a very simplistic glimpse of the guidance and protection at camp. The counselors that we have, so for the first camp, we had 50 campers. The second one, we had 40, 42. And so for each of those campers, we had a counselor that worked with them too. So we had 50 campers, 50 counselors, we had 100 people, and then the staff. The counselors have all kinds of responsibilities in the care of their campers as they go through each day of the week. Bug spray in the nighttime, sunscreen when they're out swimming, making sure they're drinking lots of water on those very hot days, which last Saturday was like 100 degrees and it was miserable. So I had to make sure they had plenty of water. Making sure that their campers get to the nurse for their meds, whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening. All because the counselors want to make sure the camper doesn't get bit, doesn't get burned, dehydrated, or sick. So it is a busy job, especially for some of the younger counselors, and they're learning how to take care of somebody. Because of the developmental disabilities the campers have, they aren't necessarily thinking ahead to the consequences of what happens if I jump in the lake and swim for 2 hours and I don't put on sunscreen, or what happens if I go out and spend an hour around the campfire but I haven't put on bug spray. In their eyes, they're excited to be there and they're running from event to event. And so it's helpful to have a counselor right there letting them know the things that they need to be doing for their own protection, because they don't realize some of the looming dangers. And yet, how often does it happen, or how easily can it happen when we wake up and go charging into our day, not the least bit aware that there are looming dangers out there we may have to face over the course of that day? It would be helpful if we went out into those days with a layer of protection that our Heavenly Father wants to provide, if only we were to ask. Since we do not know what each day holds, even if we check the weather forecasts, which aren't usually helpful anyways, it only makes sense that we should take the time in the beginning of the day, placing ourselves under the direction and the protection of the Supreme Camp Counselor, the Holy Spirit. Our Father. The follow-up portion to the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11 is important. Those prayer requests, that prayer itself, doesn't mean much if it's not addressed to someone who can do something about those prayer requests and wants to do something about them. The knowledge that God is a good Father who wants to do good things for His children ought to empower His children to pray with a bold confidence and to keep praying with a bold confidence. This last week, I did get to experience an answer to prayer from my good Father. And I will readily admit that I'm not the kind of prayer person that I desire to be, that I don't pray as often as I should for others, but there is one thing that I have prayed consistently for a very long time. Those prayers were for my daughter, Hannah. Many years, she turned 17 here in just about a month and a half. And so many of those 17 years praying for her, I didn't really know exactly what all the situation was. And I didn't know if those prayers I was praying were being answered or not. Prayers that her stepdad would be every bit of a blessing to her that my stepdad has been for me for my entire life. Prayers that the circumstances and the choices of the past would not be a hindrance to her having a relationship with Jesus. So imagine my joy and my relief at being able to watch her serve at a camp, at a Christian camp, seeing her sing songs and lift up praises. I couldn't ask for anything more for her than to get to this age in life and be an active part of a church and a follower of Jesus. So I'm very, very thankful in that regard. Go ahead and stand this morning. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Then we're going to close in a song. This morning, we lift up our prayers to a good Father who hears your prayers and responds to His children whom He loves, who wants to provide for, who wants to pardon, who wants to protect His family. Those are mighty fine gifts. A lot of times when we talk about gifts, we think of toys and things we get kids. But the gift of provision and pardon and protection is much, much better than that. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we'll close in song. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up our prayers. Each person here has different things, and we lift up the Lord's Prayer to you. We thank you for giving it to us to guide us in the way that we think, the way that we live, the way that we speak with you. And we thank you for being the good Father that you are, that hears those prayers and responds to them. We thank you for it today. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Amen.